750 CKGB.
Joining me on the phone line right now is the head of the Northern Ontario UFO Research Center in Sudbury. His name is Michel Deschamps. Good morning, Michel. I'd like to thank you for joining us around the breakfast table here at CKGB. Now, have there been any recent UFO sightings here in Northeastern Ontario at all?
Most recent so far, we've had one in Whitefish. It's really hard to track down the person, but my field investigator have spoken with him, and what he saw was two quarter moon-shaped objects hovering approximately 100 feet off the ground over a neighbor's field.
Now, what exactly has been reported in the terms of UFO sightings here in northeastern Ontario?
Had everything from landings to sighting of UFO occupants to objects causing power blackouts, being seen in the mine areas, and that's about it.
Now, where was the landing? Where exactly did it occur?
Well, on July the 6th, 1954, for instance, there was a landing that took place at Garson Mine here in Sudbury. And a 20-year-old man by the name of Lasarza was walking to work one morning, and he actually encountered a landed craft with three 13-foot-tall beings. Supposedly, after being under some kind of hypnotic trance, he made his way to the guardhouse, and the people there reported the man as being as white as a sheet, and he fell into a dead faint. The occurrence itself was actually investigated by the RCAF, and at the time, there's a man I know now that remembers the incident. He remembers hearing about it on the radio in the local paper, and a week after, he went to check out the area out in Garson, and there was a U.S. military transport helicopter. Not quite like the Chinook, which is double propellers, but it was a definite double propeller helicopter with a white star on the side, and there were 50 military personnel with earmuffs and Geiger counters checking the area.
Has there been any other reports of anything like that in the area from the 60s or any time like that?
1967 was a massive wave of sightings throughout the world, and Sudbury had its fair share. Two UFOs coming down, one after the other, for 15 minutes each, or right up to a half an hour each. Sucking power. The first one would cause all the lights to dim. The second one would cause all the lights to go completely out for 15 minutes. And the guy at Hydro would be looking at his graph, and then he'd be in total amazement because his power is just going down. And he says there was not even 1,000 volts of power going through the line. There's an incident in 1970, I think it was March, where two mines were completely knocked out. The Cunis mine and Levac mine was knocked out. People who worked underground were stuck below for 4 hours, and what they found was 300 feet of melted copper wire out in the snow. Some pieces were no longer than a foot long, and it went into a dripping stage so much that after that being told about this incident, that the UFO was pulling in the power at such a rapid rate that it actually melted the line and went into a dripping stage.
Particularly in the Timmins area, how many sightings have actually been reported?
What I have here is close to a dozen. They span from, like I said, 1947 right up to 1975. Big banner headlines, saucer seen over Timmins, scores see phenomena in district, four Timmins men see UFO, brightly glowing object, flying saucer reported like big yellow ball, four Timmins men report flying discs, another at Kenora, more flying saucers seen above town, four see spots dart back and forth in the sky, third case in 3 weeks. Saucer seen over Timmins, strange light in the sky sighted over Timmins, smoke rings, no saucers in Timmins. There's just, there's a few there. I've collected many more clippings from each individual papers, but for the specific towns, there may be somewhere between a dozen and 40 clippings that have to do with a specific town.
Do you happen to know when first contact was actually made or at least sighted here in the Timmins area?
Well, based on the newspaper archive work that I've done, the earliest sighting of a UFO over Timmins actually took place on July 11th, 1947. The headline just reads, Cosmic Phenomenon Seen at Timmins. Then the following day on July the 12th, there is a the headline says, Diamond Drillers Daydream See Slow Slim Saucer Shapes.
That's really quite interesting. We have to take a break right now, but we'll be back with Michel Deschamps, the head of the Northern Ontario UFO Research Center in Sudbury, after we get back to the country after these. And once again, we're back with Michelle Deschamps, the head of the Northern Ontario UFO Research Center in Sudbury, who's been talking about UFOs as we gear up for the 50th anniversary of the Roswell celebration. Now, something I want to ask about is a lot of people have seen the alien autopsy either on Fox or they've rented the home video. What's your opinion of that?
Well, the first time I seen it, I was 75% sure that it was real, and now I'm 200% sure that it's real. The reason is, we know for a fact that it's not the Roswell alien, because the Roswell alien, if people were to actually listen to what the eyewitnesses have said, the Roswell alien had only four fingers, and that's pretty well the thing. And now the thing that surprises me with the alien autopsy, or actually should be called a dissection, that's why it's been getting so much flack lately, because a lot of people look at it and they say, well, if it's an autopsy, it looks like a botched up one. Well, it's not an autopsy. An autopsy is to determine the cause of death. Well, it's obvious that the doctors might have been briefed about where they recovered this body, which is obviously the victim of a crash. So what they're actually doing, in fact, is a dissection, not an autopsy. That's why it's quote-unquote botched up. I've done dissections when I was in biology class, so I recognize an dissection when I see one. And the six-fingered, six-toed alien is definitely not the Roswell one. This alien was actually found at another site at a crash that was actually near Socorro, New Mexico, which actually took place a month before the Roswell crash. This crash took place on May 31st, 1947. There's a new book out in stores right now called Beyond Roswell by Michael Hessman and Philip Mantle, and the foreword is by Jesse Marcel Jr., who remembers looking at the debris pieces that his father brought home that very day in July of 47.
Now, what do you think about the whole explanation that the U.S. military gave for the Roswell experience?
Well, the thing that gets me is that they themselves have admitted that the crash test dummies test did not begin until 1953, and now they're saying that all those 350-plus witnesses, first-hand and second-hand witnesses, are now mistaken with the date and the year. I mean, you know, it's typical of skeptics, including the military, to sort of put down the eyewitness account, and yet, you know, they're willing to accept the testimony of somebody who witnesses a two-second car crash.
Now, how, though, can they possibly get away with calling them crash test dummies? This is what I don't understand. I mean, if you've researched the Roswell case at all, then you'll know that there's a lot more to it than just simple dummies, right?
I don't see how they can. I mean, I'm sure that, I don't know what they take us for. I guess every one of us who has ever seen something or whatever, we can't all be idiots, and for not be able to tell a part of body from a dummy, I mean, it's ludicrous. I mean, the mortician said that the military had called them and said that they were asking about child-sized caskets that were hermetically sealed. I mean, as if you're going to need those for a man-sized dummy, especially if it's a child-sized casket, you know, between three and a half to 4 feet long, you know. Then the mortician was also asked about procedures of preserving body tissues and organs. You know, since when does a dummy have you know, body tissues and organs? As for some of the other stuff, too, pertaining to the balloon, for instance, you know, Jesse Marcel Sr. reported that some of the material was as thin as the foil in a pack of cigarettes, and yet it could not be tented with a 16-pound sledgehammer. You know, and he said on the TV program In Search Of that any three-year-old child could just tear up this balloon thing with the reflector device. I mean, and he was supposed to know everything that flew at that time, including balloons.
Okay, we're almost out of time here, but I just want to know, do you have any idea where any of these aliens who are apparently visiting Earth, where they would be coming from?
The only thing we do know is that they're coming here. We don't know where they're from, although there is one group I think we know where they're from because of the Betty and Barney Hill case. There was a star map on board the ship that she saw, and some people did some research, and they found out that there was the Reticuli 1 and 2 star system in the constellation of Reticulum.
And I think that's only about 12 light years away. Now, before we go, I got one last question for you. Why do you believe there is no formal contact between alien races and the human existence?
Well, look at our record. You know, what's like the great researcher Stanton Friedman keeps saying all the time, you know, we like to engage in tribal warfare all the time. I mean, you know, for religious beliefs or for money, you know, we're willing to kill each other for a pair of running shoes. I mean, these poor little creatures, knowing, you know, what we're like, they must be here for a very important reason if they have to risk their lives to actually come here. You know, I wouldn't come here.
Michelle, once again, I'd like to thank you for your time to do that interview with me. I'm sorry that it took me so long to get you this tape. Just things get busy and things get pushed aside and whatnot. Also on this tape, as you'll notice, this is an interview I did with Graham Conway from BC the same morning as geared up for the whole festivities with the Roswell incident and whatnot. Hopefully you enjoy the interview. And thanks once again, Michelle. Thank you very much for helping me out during this week.